Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up video about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. the Patreon Don, a.k.a. everyone's favorite Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. the modern-day Goof Haraja. Coming at you like Scott Bakula. Baby, we're taking a quantum leap. Gabba, gabba, wee. Gabba, wee. Yeah, yeah. The girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our hot, hot wrestling reactions. Woo! Oh, man, this is a spicy week, and I got a big, big, big announcement here. Now, Nasty Newman is not currently with me right now, but that's okay. I don't need him because I got so much heat coming into this that, like, he might just be in my way. All right? First thing I want to say, we got a Patreon, okay? If you're like this show, you like what we do, know this is grassroots, baby. We're doing this from the ground up, one at a time, Bernie Sanders style. You don't have to like him, though. $27 donations on average. No, we got it way lower than that. No, but we got a Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. You get access to our bonus episodes on there. Right now, I just posted today our review of Ready to Rumble, the movie from 2000 with all of the WCW superstars, wrestlers at the time, in a movie that was described by some as a juvenile fart joke. yeah, and a wild movie. But yeah, we have a review episode of up there right now for patrons. Check that out. It's being called by a couple people. The feedback I'm getting is our best bonus episode to date. Also, we have the Cal LaCroix challenge up there. We're drinking LaCroix cocktails. So a bunch of stuff on there. Check that out. Cool. Now, here's the big announcement. Okay? Are you guys ready for the big announcement? Right? I just want to say, we got in studio today, we got Zig the Engineer.
I'm back. They couldn't keep me out of here.
Yeah, yeah. And we got Anosh.
Bienvenidos, Daniel.
Fucking Anosh. Okay, hey, let's get... Oh, yeah, crack to the 1%ers whoop ass. Okay, step here's our big LaCroix announcement, which I've teased last week. Basically made the announcement already.
See you, fourth wall!
We are going to have a big Comedians of Wrestling live show. SummerSlam weekend, Saturday, August 18th at midnight, after NXT TakeOver in New York City. We will have the Cow SummerSlam Slamtacular. It's gonna be awesome. I'm pumped for it.
Is that the official name, the SummerSlam Tacular?
Yeah, the Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam Tacular live event. On this show, let me tell you something, okay? About this show, featured on this show, I will be doing what I've been teasing for a while now. I've been talking about it. It's been a lot of lip service till now. Mm-hmm. But at this show, after NXT TakeOver in New York, I mean, if you live in the Northeast quadrant, there's no excuse.
No.
I mean, right?
No, the flight paths are numerous.
I will be doing a half hour of professional wrestling material. Okay, I've been writing like a madman for just about professional wrestling, and it's been so fun, and I'm excited. I've been working. Some of our patrons, if you are at a certain level of patriotism.
You're close.
Yeah, if you're a patron, I've been releasing little clips, and it's been. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be awesome.
Come out and see Dan stand up. If you like puns wordplay.
Yeah, that's my style.
Knock knock jokes. Yeah. Oh man, this is gonna be right up your alley.
If you like low energy, a guy who
nursery rhymes,
a guy who just stands in a spotlight, doesn't move around at all, then you'll like what I do.
It's very man on the moon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm. No, I give you what it is. Not really into the Kaufman stuff, except for the wrestling stuff. You know it. but I'm gonna be doing a half hour of pro wrestling material. Also, hey, current Intercontinental Champion Dolph Ziggler will be on the show. Ooh. He is confirmed.
It's a hot card.
God. I mean, can you believe how hard this guy works? He's going to come to our show. Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, the show off will be there showing off. I mean, that should be enough, right? I shouldn't even have to say anymore. But we're going to have other, we're going to have more guests. Right now, the location, I'm going to announce the location of the show next week. It's TBD. Still working out some details there, but we will have a venue. Right now, we're taking our pick of venues.
Yeah, there's just so many venues on the commodity. Table.
Yeah, absolutely. But hey, spread the word about the show. It's not this show. I don't know the price of the tickets right now, but this isn't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Like, this is about being there and getting the Cow Nation, getting the Jabroniac Nation together.
That's right. Do we know if Ziggler's going to be wrestling or performing a little bit of comedy?
We're going to keep that as a question mark. We don't know what he's going to do.
What color pants is he going to be wearing? Will they be tight?
The pink pantser. You know, you never know with what he's going to do. But Ziggler's confirmed on the show. So that's a big August 18th, this thing I've been talking about, time to put my money where my mouth is. Now, all right, about the tickets. I don't have any of the structure completely figured out yet. But if you're a patron of this show, I will guarantee you that I will get you a ticket to the show. This show is going to sell out. You know, it's going to be awesome. I'm confident that we're going to have a good turnout. But if you're a patron of the show, I will make sure that you get a ticket.
Dan,
I
have a question. Will you be able to give some comps to like a listener, maybe a listener or two that?
Good question.
That's in the area. Could it be like a little mini contest?
Good question. Careful how you answer this.
Yeah. Yes. We will be giving out some comps. I'm holding off on announcing any of that stuff because we don't have the location figured out. We're still working out the details. All you need to know is that if you were thinking, hey, should I go to TakeOver this time? You have plans after TakeOver. When TakeOver's over, I mean, I'm so pumped for this week, for the weekend.
Honestly, if you having a live show there kind of turns New York into a little bit of a Comic-Con for wrestler fans. You know what I mean? They got SummerSlam. They can go to a nice Cow event after. I'm sure there'll be some other stuff.
Stop by Hall H, get an autograph with Dan.
Yeah, get an autograph, a little panel action.
Yeah. It's gonna be awesome. Everyone, cool your jets.
Shanti.
Everyone, shanti. Cool your jets. But yeah, anyway. SummerSlam Tacular, August 18th, Saturday night at midnight. Location will be announced on the podcast next week. We're pumped about it. Sweet. Anyway, moving on. All right. So, hey, just as a quick reminder, we still have the Newman t-shirt contest going on. The Nasty Newman t-shirt contest going on. That ends. You got to get your submissions in the Wednesday after Extreme Rules. So that's July 18th, that Wednesday. Get your designs in. There's like four already, and they're pretty,
pretty good.
Damn good.
I like them.
So let's. I see you guys playing the long game, getting in at the buzzer.
Yeah.
There's no real benefit to getting in early in terms of competition. I'll be frank about that. Posted on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. I'm looking to talk about wrestling for in the morning under his eye. Blessed be the fruit. Okay. Hey, remember, something about the show, you can cash in on this show. Get your opinion on the show. You're going to hear some voicemail on the show, and you're gonna be like, man, how can I get my voicemail on the show? I'll tell you this right now. All you gotta do is leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429 316 530-2429. Blow my mind. Gabba wee. Yeah, so cool. Whew. All right, man.
That was a hell of an intro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm gonna take a breather here quick. Maybe take a quick sip. Yeah, let's get into it. So, let's see. I got a couple more things before we get into Raw and SmackDown. I got a couple more things.
The intro continues.
You know what I want to talk about? I'm going to talk about the show Glow. That's what I want to talk about.
Hot show. Billboards everywhere.
I would like to talk about the show Glow. They're not a paid sponsor of the show. I'm going to try to get some Glow some glow stars, some glow maniacs.
Yeah,
glow. I'll try to see if I can get someone on the show from the show. But I just finished season two of Glow, and I just want to say that I thought it was fantastic. Highly recommend it. I think that they do a really great job on that show of weaving in all the elements of what make professional wrestling great in such a palatable way while still making it, the show is not about wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of wrestling on the show, but they do such a good, but they still, it's, I feel like it's so easy to not hit on, like, not, they clearly do their homework. So that's why my hat's off. One thing I really love about the show is why I recommend it is Alison Brie's character and Betty Gilpin, I think her name is. I don't understand her last name. They have a storyline in the show that is so pro wrestling. All right. I mean, I can spoil it because it's season one, right?
Yeah, season one, you're good.
I can say anything about season one, right?
Yeah.
And it's the first episode of season one, so I don't think it's a spoiler.
Yeah.
But essentially, Alison Brie is like this broken down, failing actress, and Betty Gilpin is like she's like a soap star who's like started a family, and she's dealing with the sexism of the 80s and like how, like, now that she's a mom, it's kind of like, what do I do? I still want to be like a movie star, but a star, but I want to have a family. She's towing that line, you know, in a different time. But she seems to have everything. And Alison Brie's character makes a very poor decision and has sexual relations with Betty Gilpin's husband. Mm. And they're best friends before this. And throughout the whole series, it's the two of them. And they have there's so much tension between them. And the thing is, they have amazing in-ring chemistry. Like, they have the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels chemistry of, like, they hate each other, but they gotta work with each other.
So, and they know that the other one's having relations with the husband.
But they're also, like, understanding where each other's behavior comes from. And anyway, all I'm saying is that I don't want to give away too much of the show.
Yeah.
But it is such a, like, it's such a thing we mark out for so hard in wrestling. The Lita Edge storyline. You know what I mean? Like, in real life, Matt Hardy was dating Lita. Edge stole Lita from her in real life. And then they're like, let's make it a storyline. And I love that element of the show. That's the thing of the show. The problem those two have weaves throughout the whole show in a way that is like, it's never not there. It's their relationship is broken, and they're trying to fix it, and they understand each other's behavior completely, but they can't get over it because it's a wound that is almost, I don't know, unhealable, I want to say.
Yeah. Also, some solid performances from
both of them.
Both of them, yeah, they killed it.
Anyway, and there's a scene in this season that I keep wanting to talk about. I can't talk about, but anyway, I think the show is great. I really dig it. I won't bore you with it anymore, but I wanted to talk about that show before I forgot. Okay, cool. Moving on. All right. Before we get through on SmackDown, I got one more thing. I got to give patron shout outs. I'm overdue for shouting out the patrons.
It's been a while.
Respect to the Patreon.
Okay, cool. So quickly, let's give out some shout outs to some people. Okay, ready? All right, Philip Hollingsworth. Burn it down! Thanks for supporting the show. Emily Scott. What does she get? She gets a
fashion.
Thanks for supporting the show. Yeah. Jacob Levitt, thank you for giving more money. Already you were supporting the show, but thanks for giving more. Yeah, and I think I said all these people already. Yeah, I think those are all the new ones that we have. I think I gave all these other people shout-outs. So dope. Anyway, cool. Thanks for joining the show. Now, dope. All right, now let's... I got another thing before we get into Raw and SmackDown this week. I want to say, in terms of Hounds of Merch, you know what? This group of professional wrestling fans, we're nutty about merch. We're always talking merch on the Comedians Wrestling Before the Morning... I gotta say, I got my first acid wash WWE shop shirt.
Red.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that, like, they just, like, I don't know, like, They like spit acid on it, like, I don't know, like Randy Orton's venomous snake acid. But I don't know what that means. But those shirts, they're really soft, and we always complain about the crunch of the WWE shirts. I cannot recommend these shirts enough. They're so comfortable. They fit like a normal shirt. Get that. I got an Alexa Bliss one.
Soft style.
Yeah, soft style one.
Dan Black, they fit like a normal shirt.
They fit like, that's what you, that's how low the bar is on WWE merch. You're like, fuck, this is my favorite wrestler.
And so good, it fits like a normal shirt.
That's, yeah, that's it. Okay, cool. All right, let's get into Raw and SmackDown. I got other stuff. I don't want to get into it. There's too much good shit to talk about. Let's move on.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, Newman's here? All right, that's perfect timing. All right, yo, guys, we're never going to talk about Raw and Smack. This is the show that never starts. All right, so this is something I'm really excited to do, okay? So, all right, one of our, actually, Emily Scott, one of our jabroniacs and new patron of the show, she, I guess, got followed by a fake Seth Rollins account on, on Facebook. And so this guy, I guess she, maybe, was she friend somebody?
Well,
Nancy Newman in studio.
She, I think she like, yeah, maybe she like followed the page or something, and then he contacted her and was like,
here's my number, you're pretty cute.
And it's a Chicago number too.
Oh,
hey, you're pretty cute there.
He wrote it as if he was like a bot though, but it's obviously not a bot.
He didn't write it like a human being.
No, he was weird with it.
It seemed like a copy and paste message that he sends to every woman that he comes across.
But it was like slightly robotic English.
Would you like me to read it?
But he,
yeah, please read it.
I would like you to read it. I want to have the post up myself.
Copy.
Oh, I got it.
All right.
Because I want to see. Okay, this is from, I got it, so I'm just read it, but it says, it's from Seth, it's got Seth Rollins, like, classic WWE image, you know, like, when it's, like, when it has the tail of the tape, like, Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler, it's got that picture in there, so, you know, his personal account that he would have, wouldn't have him, like, at the CrossFit gym, it's got him in his, like, most
It's, like, the same picture from, like, the side of the souvenir cup you get.
Yeah. If you drive by, like, a WWE tractor trailer, you can see exactly this, a huge, like, fat head of this smiling back at you. Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins, 6'3", 6'5".
He couldn't get the other 6,000.
Yeah. He couldn't get it. This is the 6,365th Seth Rollins account. everyone knows that Seth Rollins has Seth Rollins 1.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a DM, right?
Yes, this is a DM. He says, "Hello, dear. How are? Wait, should we? That should do it in the Seth Rollins voice.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hello, dear. How are you doing?" I can't do it with Rollins. What does Rollins even sound like? Hello, dear. Architect Rollins. Yeah. Shut up. Hello, dear. Hello, dear. How are you doing? Thank you for being a fan and liking my page. And God bless you. .. Just 2 dots.
Ellipse.
You can get that third one in.
An ellipse.
Yeah. Thank you. I sent you a request on here because you are a very beautiful woman, and you seem to be a very nice person that I would like to know more about. I love that it's like, obviously, it's like, first, like, you're hot, and then you seem like a nice person.
Yeah.
God has a reason for all purpose.
Wrong.
Yeah.
That's such a curveball, and it's technically, because there's a comma, it's part of that same sentence. So this sentence
grammatically incorrect.
All right, so this is coming off a God bless you ellipsis, and then I send you a request on here because you are a very beautiful woman and you seem to be a very nice person that I would like to know more about. God has a same sentence. God has a reason for all purpose. Are you single? Same sentence. A question at the end of that double sentence.
Yeah.
All right, run on sentence. If space, yes, here's my private cell. Well, yeah, okay. Okay. And all right, we got that. Drop me a message and I will get back to you ASAP. Okay. So Emily posted this on here, and we're gonna right now call Seth Rollins right now. I think, how do you want to do it? Like, you're saying you want to call as Stone Cold?
I'm gonna call as Stone Cold, and I'm gonna, because somebody, I'm just gonna do somebody's suggestion in the thing. I'm gonna call him as Stone Cold and see if we can get Roman to take off the vest.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I can. I want Seth Rollins, to talk to his buddy, Roman about taking the vest off.
Okay. Should we do
Hopefully he answers.
I know. I wish we had a girl here, though.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Is there any girl we can grab in the theater?
No.
No.
Okay.
There's no one here. Well, there is, but they're all, there's like shows going on.
They can't, we can't, they're all performing. Can't scout somebody, try to get a girl to call also after Stone Cold?
Oh, maybe.
All right. What do you got to put in when I call to make it like star six? Like, what,
to
make
hide it?
Yeah, I don't want
you could just call it and then block the number on your phone.
Yeah.
Doesn't star 6-7 do this?
I don't know.
I don't know. This is in 1987.
Real quick. Wait, block on my phone? What is
that? Yeah. So if you add the contact to your phone, you can block the number. You like scroll down in the options. I'll show you how to do it.
Do we know what the area code is?
Chicago.
Oh, it's Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Am I going to hear that in here and he's going to hear me?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So should I put this on speaker?
Okay, so right now we're calling Seth Rollins, 6365, and we're going to call him as Stone Cold, and we're going to try to get... What, all right, here we go. The goal is you're going to... Yeah.
Here we go.
Don't laugh.
I'm going to leave a message if I can't get through to him.
Yeah.
I think we're going to voicemail.
We're sorry. This person is not available right now.
Set up your voicemail, jabroni.
It's going to Stone Cold here, old Stone Cold. I'm looking for Seth Rollins. I got your phone number off of Instagram. I'm wondering if you could put me in contact with your buddy Roman Reigns. Look, I think he's got a hell of a look, but he's got to take the vest off. Let's see those pecs, right? Let's see those abs. Hey, look, you seem like a nice person. I know that God has a purpose for everybody. So I'm hoping, Seth, you can reach out to your buddy. Have him contact me at 123 Gimmick Street. And let me tell you one more thing. If you contact women on Instagram, I'm going to drop you on that stack of dimes. You call a neck, run you through that wall, Stone Cold Stunner style, so fast your head will spin. Oh, hell yeah.
One take, baby.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Oh, man.
Ooh, shit.
Oh, I wish you would call back. We have to try again next time from a different phone.
We're going to call every week and do it.
Yeah.
All
right, so I'm going to block this number on my phone. All right, I got to go back to work.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Nasty Newman. Shout out.
All right, man. Listen, I told you that long intro would pay off. Okay, great. awesome. Oh, man. We're going to keep calling this fucking guy until we get him to pick up. Until Seth Rollins picks up the phone.
Yeah. I mean, what in the event that like an Armenian man in like a Chicago tenement picks up, then what?
We roll with it.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of what we're hoping for.
Yeah. All I know is I'm pretty sure it's not Seth Rollins.
Don't be so sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into Raw and SmackDown this week. What do you say? All right, baby. Okay, so I think this week in professional wrestling is, I think this was a week where I noticed, I was in my head calling it the week of terrible performances and terrible acting. There was so much stuff in here where I was like, I kind of like what's happening here, but the performances were like so stale that I was like, what? Like, you know, what's going on here? Now, there was a lot of good stuff that I dug this week, but ultimately, I was like, there was a couple moments where I was like, man, like this is like worse than porn acting. And it's just frustrating, you know.
Welcome back to Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess you can make the argument, like, what am I expecting here? But I do think it has something to do with the process. Like, I do think that the wrestlers are capable of more, and I feel like they're getting these scripts last second. It's so obvious to me that they're, like, always looking for the next line. And if they gave them just three bullet points and... I feel like they would be looser, you know? So Reigns came out. He did the same old promo he did last week. He's getting over with the Bob thing. Obviously, we know Reigns is stiff. I don't know. So him and Lashley are beefing. I don't know if it's for... It's confusing. Is this for the number one contender spot? Like, I don't know. So we know now. We're hearing that Brock, it's being reported, and God, most of the time these things that come out are true. I know we say we get, it's our truth. We get worked a lot, and we do, but I do find that a lot of Brock news turns out to be the truth. So I feel like he's not going to wrestle at SummerSlam. I'm feeling that's going to actually happen, and you could see from what's going on here that that might be the case. But, I mean, if that's what's happening, okay, I'm okay with Brock not wrestling at SummerSlam. I don't think it's okay. I'm not okay with it. I think that if you're going to hold the belt and you're not wrestling, you have to be at the major pay-per-views. I like getting worked. We talked about this on a previous episode with King of the Custom Intro, Jason Shapiro. Like the concept of the fact that him not being there is working us. It's getting heat, right? And he's like too good, and there's not a good competitor there. That's fine. But he has to be defending at major pay-per-views. I mean, or else there's no belt. Like, it's starting to feel like there's no belt. Now, I'm not going to be okay with it, but if this is what the situation is going to be, well, then the main belt on Raw is the IC belt, especially if you have Dolph Ziggler and Rollins putting on fucking barn burners, you know, then let's get that. Like, right now, again, this is another example of Roman Reigns being put in a bad spot with the writing. Now, the writing was fine when it's like, okay, these two are going to be number one contender for the Universal belt, Rollins and Lashley. But if it's going to be, if we're just going to have those two just having a grudge match for nothing, and we don't know how it plays into Lesnar after they already announced, it's like going back, they already announced that it was going to be a number one contender match. It was going to be like a multi-man match. And then now it's like, okay, it's just the two of them. Now it's just a match at Extreme Rules. Not to mention that they haven't announced that there's any extreme stipulation on it. And knowing then, they'll just make it the main event of that pay-per-view, and it'll just be Rollins versus Lashley for nothing. So I don't know. They're telling a story there, but we don't know if it leads to the title. And my thing is like, all right, well, if let's stop. This week felt like Reigns is weak, but Rollins and Reigns should be the star of Raw right now. And those guys didn't even have a promo. They were part of the Reigns-Lashley storyline this week. And it's like, those guys are going to have a 30-man Iron Man match at Extreme Rules. That is fucking awesome. That is a match that I can't remember another match that I've been this excited for. And I right now off the top of my head, yeah. I mean that. I'm ecstatic for this match. That's awesome. But let's acknowledge that that is the main event of Extreme Rules. It's the IC belt, which they won't do it. They'll probably put Reigns Lashley as the main event, but for no belt. You know, this is an example where Lesnar, like, if we don't know when this belt's going to be defended, that's when it's ridiculous. I like that he's not around, but if it's going to be like the belt just doesn't exist and it holds back that IC title, it's like when I said with Miz had the belt. It was like, that is the main belt, so let's treat it as such. But when you have the two guys who are like two of the best workers in the company, yeah, but get Reigns out of the way. He's got his storyline's irrelevant right now. And it buries Reigns. It doesn't help him either. They go, we'll give him two matches this week. It's going to make him look strong. It's like, no, it just makes him look in the way. Now, Ziggler, I thought, had a nice moment. I love when he came out. I mean, the guy looks like $1 million. Ziggler by his podcast. I always say it. Love the black pants. It'll go from some weeks pink. It goes to the black. I like when he said, he said to Reigns, you're calling my ring your yard. I love that because it's so on brand for the McIntyre Ziggler gimmick, or the lack of gimmick, if you want to call it, where they're like, nah, we're pro wrestlers. Like, that's what we are. We're no gimmicks, no nothing. It's a ring, and you're calling it a yard. That's stupid. I like that. I dig that. We had this match of McIntyre and Zig versus Rollins and Reigns. I mean, obviously, awesome match. Those are all great workers. We like what they're doing there. In the beginning, it was set up through. We knew when they were beating up on Reigns. We knew in the beginning. We know Rollins was going to run in. But that's such an interesting thing about wrestling, where it's like, it's so predictable, but you love it anyway. Like, I was just like, my thought process is not, I'm not thinking about the writing. I'm not going, oh my God, is Rollins going to come to save Reigns here? I'm like, I know 100% he's doing that. My thought process was, are they going to play his music or is he just going to come without music? That seems to be my interesting thing is about the production of that. Like, I love thinking, you know, sometimes their music hits and they run down and sometimes they just appear. Sometimes they come from the crowd for no reason. Like, they happen to be going to get like a beer in section 206. And then all of a sudden now they run it. Reigns is in trouble. Damn it. They dropped the fucking beer and they come from the crowd. They were going to kiss a relative that came to see the show. That's what I'm thinking about. But I think that's always really fun. Will his music play? I like that. Now, this 30-minute Iron Man match, I feel like similar to the AJ Shinsuke feud, this should not be the last time we see. I'll be bummed if Ziggler Rollins just wins the belt back and then SummerSlam, maybe they do a multi-man match or something. Like, I want this match. I want the 1 hour Iron Man match at SummerSlam, especially if Lesnar's not there. That's how you solve the lack of Lesnar. If he's not going to be there, put the IC belt on display and show people that we don't need Lesnar. Try to even show the casual fan who's going to pop into SummerSlam because it's one of the more popular pay-per-views. Show them that we don't need Lesnar. Show them this guy, Seth Rollins. Show him Ziggler. I love that. But the fact that Ziggler and Rollins had no segment really this week, I don't know. I mean, they did a lot, but they weren't. Those guys weren't talking shit to each other. They only have one more show until they have a 30-man Iron Man. Like, that is a dream fucking match. Yeah. Anyway, how does that match go? Anyway, okay. The one thing I was thinking about is with Seth Rollins. This is just a tangential thing about Seth Rollins because I'm always thinking about the Architect. You know that. When I saw him in the airport going through security, I just stared at him like I was like a 15-year-old girl seeing like Backstreet Boys in 98. I mean, he's wearing the stupid CrossFit toe shoes and stuff. You know what I mean? Dressed in all black. The guy was the Architect. He looked great. Anyway.
That's beautiful, brand
man.
For you.
Beautiful man. Beautiful man. Anyway, I was thinking about the story of Seth Rollins, the long-term storytelling of Seth Rollins, and I was like, man, this is great. He had a moment, it's almost like similar to what I was talking about with Glow, but he had a moment where him and Rollins were backstage, and I think Cole called them the brother in arms, you know what I mean? And like, I had this moment of feeling like, man, these two characters have like had came a long way. They're friends again, but there's this feeling there where you're like, oh, I wonder if they really trust each other. I was getting into the storyline. I was getting worked, and that's because like if you think about the Seth Rollins storyline, this is what I'm zoning out during the Titus O'Neil AOP match. Seth Rollins was in NXT. He was the first NXT champion. Okay, so down there he was a big deal. Right? He was Tyler Black on the indie in ROH and stuff, and he was a big deal guy. He gets put into the Shield, brought up to the main roster. Now, this is before NXT is what it is today, where it's part of the product, essentially, not just pure development. And he comes up, and he is the jabroni of the Shield. Like, he's the shafted Shield member. Roman Reigns is looking really cool, standing in the back, being big, just saying believe that. The mic, the face is Dean Ambrose, and Rollins is the guy in the worst gear. He's got the bleach streak in his hair, which is like, I don't know, to me, Red is, I learned to really love it, but originally it was just like, well, that's just annoying cheap heat. It's like emo cheap heat. He was wearing like a bomber vest. Zig, you know, like comic books when like one character has an outfit that's like you're not the main guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like your superhero uniform. Like you don't have the cool costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't think of an example right now. Like
I would say like superhero wise, probably like Batman has a cool uniform.
Like Robin.
Yeah, Robin has a whack uniform.
Like the Robin, where it's like Robin's uniform exists to make Batman's uniform look cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like something like that where you're like, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, Roman Reigns has the cool uniform when in the Shield. Then when he kept wearing the vest after he kept the music and he didn't evolve at all as a character, we know he went to Jabroni Town. But so he's that, and then he's also the best wrestler of the three of them by far. But he's not getting the singles matches. He's just part of the Shield. I remember even he took one of the best, like, big time bump, and still it didn't happen. Then, okay, so the guy he's shafted, you could feel that character bubbling up, being like, I'm not getting my due. I'm the first NXT champion. And then he turns his back on those two guys who are get overrated. He couldn't handle it. If he waited his time, he would have got his due, but no, he chose to go to the dark side. He had his Anakin Skywalker moment. Slams Roman with the chair. I remember it was like yesterday. Always a plan B. Signs on with Triple H. It makes him a direct path to becoming Mr. Money in the Bank. He wins the Money in the Bank, cashes in, wins the belt in the most heelish way possible, as we all know.
You were the chosen one.
Yeah. I have the high ground, Rollins. you could tell earlier we were talking about episode 3 and how I wish they established the higher ground concept.
It would have made it much more impactful. It still worked for me, but it would have made it more impactful.
And by earlier, we mean at like 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Text 3.
Oh, yeah, 4 in the morning.
I woke up to a 90 text message thread about Star Wars episode.
Yeah, no, we were talking about that. Yeah. Anosh woke up and immediately responded 5 texts about the prequels.
I was late to work because I was like, nope, well, I got to answer this.
Hey, say whatever shit you want about the prequels, and we'll get into this on another time. Whatever you want to say about the prequels, I'm not a prequels apologist per se, but I would say that I like all the politics of episode 1 through 3 more
wild.
Than the jabroni First Order of these new movies. All right. The First Order stinks.
We're going to have a bonus episode where I just want you to unpack that
what
for an hour.
What is the First Order? They stink. Ugh. They're derivative. It was almost like the Death Star never blew up. Anyway.
I like the prequels because it's our only option. We have no other depiction of it.
And we got Darth Maul.
Oh, Darth Maul.
That might be my new entrance music.
Darth Maul's yeah. And that is the best score. Double lightsaber.
All right, we lost a few listeners. Okay, we're back. We're back in the wrestling. We're back in. All right. Okay, so the point is that, all right, so Rollins was the Padawan learner. No. Okay, so anyway. Baby, I'm fired up. Okay. So Rollins, I'm saying, he takes the easy route. Okay. Remember, he used to tell everyone, ha, shut up. He took the easy way out. And then, man, he was the face of the company, cashed in, lost at Mania 31, but walked out with the belt. And then when he had this feud with Triple H and he's burning down his old self, man. You know what I mean? That was the I don't have that. We got to get that sound drop back on the board, but that's the should have known better dude, Rollins, who that's when he was like, yeah, I lost my way. And then now he's building himself back up. And it's like almost great that Rollins hasn't had really like a big WrestleMania moment. Yes, he won the IC belt this year. We know that, but we know he stumbled along the way with the Jason Jordan stuff. And he is also like, always try to like show Rollins and Ambrose, Reigns and Ambrose that he's like learned his way and he's like grown and he's become like a more mature person. He's like, I was almost gonna say like LeBron going to the Heat. I almost compared wrestling to sports. Ugh. Anyway, but you know, LeBron went to the Heat and it was just like, I just want to get the ring at all costs. Then he went back to Cleveland, but now he's a heel again. anyway.
Nick Tulo sent me a message on Facebook.
Just
now that said, I'm so happy Matt Martin is back. That is New York Islanders talk.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Don't waste my show with that bullshit. Okay. Come on. We got to edit that out. Can we edit that out?
I'm freak. No, we can't.
Tulo's a secret hockey mark.
Shame. Hockey. Please with the hockey. If you watch hockey, just unsubscribe to the show. Okay. Okay. No, don't. Please don't.
We need you.
Okay. Now we have burnt down Rollins. He's burning down his old self. Has he ever said that? So get back to me. Hit me up. Guys, I always say I'm not a wrestling story. I'm a historian. I'm a wrestling mark. Burn it down. I always felt like it was because of that like factory fire in the 2K18 video. But is it about burning down his old self? Is that what it is? I would love that. But I think it's about, like, we're burning down Iowa. We're burning down whatever arena they're in. We're like, you know what? Rollins here, and we're ready to burn down this arena. Like, I don't think it's like I'm burning down my old self. Like, it's like the Anakin Luke moment in episode 6, right? Where he's like, take my mask off so I could see you. He's burning down the right?
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. I thought you meant 3, but yeah, that is...
No, episode 6. No, no, not the higher ground moment. Yeah. That's the opposite moment. That's when Rollins broke... That episode 3 moment where he is in the lava and he loses his legs and all that, that is Rollins when he busted his knee during his architect run because he thought... He's CrossFit Jesus. He thought, I could never get injured. He was quoted as saying, because of the way I train, I could never get injured. And then he tore his ACL.
She took the low ground.
Yeah. He didn't. And I was like, you won the chosen. We got to get that drop. That's got to drop.
I'll get that drop for you.
Anyway, you and McGregor.
I've become more powerful than you, master.
Okay. All right. We got to move on. Okay. So, here's one of my peeve about Roman Reigns, right? Roman Reigns always tells people, yeah, man, shut up. He always is like telling people to shut. You know what? Shut up. And like, there's no consequences to saying shut up. Like, shut up is a fighting word. If you tell someone to shut up and you're having an aggressive exchange, they're probably just going to hit you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's just like, shut up. And then people just shut up. That's not how shut up works. Or you talk through shut up. If someone's like, shut up, I'm like, no, no, no. You know what? I'm not going to shut up. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, if someone says shut up, you go like, excuse me, mind your business. I'm not telling you to shut up, right? No one ever shuts up when you say shut up. Okay? Shut the fuck up.
Telling someone to relax. Fine.
Hold on. Shanti. Namaste, Jinder. Shanti. We got to find out. Is that offensive? Can we find out?
I think it definitely skating the edge between offensive and being kosher.
It's part of wrestling, though.
As an Indian Canadian,
this is offensive?
I deem it not offensive.
Yes! Yes! Here I go. Shanti. Oh, you guys feel me? I'm so not offensive. That's all right. Fine. You could say anything about the Jews. It's fine.
What's this dude?
Okay. So, anyway, that's a reveal, guys. I'm Jewish. Okay. So, but yeah, Bobby Lashley is terrible. Talk about bad performance. This guy is such a stooly magooly. I mean, this guy is a jabroni. He is so stiff. It's unbelievable. He had to deliver this line. I mean, he comes out. I mean, the thing I like about Lashley, I really am. It's true. Like, I really am like a sucker for like a bit. Like, he's jacked, and he's there. I'm like, all right, whatever. I guess he belongs here. Like, he looked like, I want to see Lashley matches, whatever. But I mean, he said this line. He said, he was like, you know what, Reigns, your yard is just a concrete patch in a trailer park. Now, by the way, that line is written for him, but you could say that, like, your yard is a concrete patch in a trailer park. That could be sold. Other wrestlers could sell that line. It's not terrible. It's not my favorite, but it's sellable. It's workable.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely dependent on the performer that speaks that line.
Right. Like, Ziggler, like when he said, why are you calling my ring your yard? I like that. I bet if he said, like, yeah, your yard is it's a tough line. But he didn't sell it at all. Anyway, whatever. He has new music that sounds heel, but Bobby Lashley's new music is cool. I like it. It's got like a kind of like a brooding like Chris Masters kind of vibe to it. I think that probably any Jack dude gets the Chris Masters layer, the Chris Masters filter on it. Cool. So anyway, yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Okay, so let's move on. Let's hit a cash in. You guys want to hear cash in?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up, guys? It's Jesus.
What's up?
You know, new top listener, long time subscriber. I just want to let y'all know, you're always reading about physiques and shit, right? So, who do y'all think it has the best beard? Like, if you rate physiques, why don't you rate beards? That's all I wanted to say. Later.
Yo, Jesus, I don't know what you said. You're a long time listener. but you're long, a short time listener, but long time subscriber.
He makes
some specific new age shit. I subscribe, but I haven't been listening.
He's just here for the supporters.
Yeah. No, Jesus, great question, man. I love when you guys give me questions. They're fun. Instead of when you announce the time and say, give your catchphrase, yeah, and then just meander about how you like wrestling. Oh, remember last week someone just, was that Tulo who explained what wrestling was to
yeah,
us?
Yeah, we cut him off. Like, I think a minute into his 2-minute cash-in, we cut him
he
off.
He just explained to us what wrestling is. No, Jesus, beards. Oh, great question. Now, I would like to commend you for noticing that I'm always talking about dudes' physiques, because that is true. I got a text from two dudes this today saying yo, McIntyre's a specimen. Like, why? Like, anyone knows if they got a thought about a wrestler's body, they know where that thought's going out. But yeah, no, I love it. I love dudes' bodies. I love women's bodies also. Okay. Those are just harder to talk about.
Yeah, well, you run the risk of entering the swamp.
Oh, yeah. Those are harder to talk about. But feel free to call me. DM me, and we'll talk about women's bodies. So, yeah. So, it's beards. So, here's the thing. Beards. You know, they're hard to... It's hard to say what, like, a beard you like. I think it's interesting because you're talking about the actual beard. It's more about what do I like? It's more... When it comes to beards, it's like, what does that beard do for that person's look? You know what I mean? Like, Roman Reigns, if you want to talk about just bad beards, like, Roman Reigns is like a patchy shit beard, which, by the way, I also have. So that's actually my favorite feature of Roman Reigns, because I'm a narcissist, baby. Lex Luger style, baby. Put you up in the rack. But, wearing my fucking American flag pants on the Intrepid. You're talking about in terms of like thickness of beard. I think, like some beards I look at that are really nice. Like I like, I was looking at Apollo Crews's beard. He now has a beard, and I was like, that's a nice looking beard. It fades in really nicely. The Usos have like nice little, like nice beards that accentuate their faces in ways that make them look more attractive to me. But in terms of like which beard I remember, the first thing is Luke Harper, I think, has a really interesting look going on right now because he's got the long Strowman-esque beard. And but on the side, he also has a man bun going. So he has a unique, like almost like a samurai kind of a look,
yeah,
even though he's a white guy. But I think it looks cool as him reinventing himself in the Bludgeon Brothers. I feel like it looks cool, like, because the sides are pulled back in like a J-Lo kind of a way, you know, like that kind of look where the hair, like, it looks like it's shaved on the side, but it's not. There's hair.
It's like a ponytail facelift.
Yeah.
I actually have an answer, or I have an opinion on this.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say modern, I think Braun Strowman is killing the beard game.
Yeah.
Because of length, and it actually looks good. I'd say classic, even though it's not a well-kept beard, Mick Foley's beard. Because I think it's versatile.
Yeah, and one thing about Mick Foley's beard, great call. Mick Foley's beard is it's fully filled in. No patchiness. And also, like, the only thing you'll see when his beard is grown out is just a mouth. You won't see any skin peeking through at all, which I've always appreciated.
And I think
I promise the only podcast where people are dissecting beards.
And before we move on, I think the missing teeth also adds a lot to Mick Foley's beard. Because when he was...
tooth basically in his beard.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, that was basically it.
Yeah. No, I know. You're right. That beard's great. Strowman is such a great look also. I mean, with the beard. Oh, I like Daniel Bryan is actually, if you want to talk about beards... His beard is like iconic look for him. Is like, it's cool that when Daniel Bryan was retired, Daniel Bryan, he was shaven, clean shaven.
Oh,
but like
yeah.
When Daniel Bryan wrestles, he has the beard, you know, and he's like, it's like his power comes. Like when Daniel Bryan has a beard, it's like he has like crazy, like it's almost like he's 7 feet tall. He gets a lot of power from his beard.
Yeah, well, I think because they tap
the beard is the most part of his gimmick. It's Daniel Bryan. It's the most tied in. Yeah.
I think there's a primitive element to those type of unkept beards because I think that comparatively, Braun Strowman's and Daniel Bryan's, I think that Braun's is a little bit too camped. I think if he was like a wild man face, he could really sell that. If he was like the crazy like woodman strongman, I think that could be a good angle to bring in an unkept beard.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. For time, we'll move on. Great question. All right. Thanks for listening, Jesus. Okay. So I want to get into the. I'm going to move on to the Bailey Sasha counseling sessions. This was very odd. This was very, very odd here. All right, so Bailey and Sasha. Now, we've had these sessions before. We had the return of Dr. Shelby. Now, this guy's really funny. He was the guy, he was the therapist from Team Hell No, oddly enough. He was their therapist. But I just felt like, I think the reason this was really odd was, first off, performance-wise, they're really stale. One thing I did like, though, minor thing that I thought was pretty like on point for Bailey was she had one line in there where she's like a little kid. Her and Sasha show up. They have the same time for counseling, and they think they have one-on-one counseling, but it's couples counseling, essentially. And they're yelling at each other, and Bailey just goes like, she goes, "You've been attacking me my whole life." She goes,
"I attacked you. You've been attacking me my whole life."
Like, you've been talking about, they've been like they're like sisters, right? Like, that line is like they haven't known each other their whole lives, you know what I mean? It's such a like thing that little like girls and boys would say to each other, like, "You've been taking me my whole life." It's so overly dramatic. I don't think she intended to do it. I don't know why. I don't really know. But yeah, the whole segment was bizarro. They had their, it was the friend zone. It wasn't written in a way, it wasn't natural at all. It was scripted to be. Felt like it was like this was an example where something was bullet pointed but should have had like a proper script, should have been like, I guess, a sketch, but the tone of it was bizarre. They played like elevator music in the back. It was like, like, you know, like, and this is the, remember, this is the blow off of like 6 months of these two, like, of tension, and they're like grabbing each other. They're like for the first time putting hands on each other, and they have like this really, like, it's really goofy. They decided to make it silly, and also they decided to play to not their strong suits. Like, these are two performers who are like not the strongest actors, which we know, but they are really strong workers, and they have great in-ring chemistry, and they're choosing to have them not be in the ring. I don't know. I think the whole thing was really bizarre. I thought Dr. Shelby, I think he's funny. Funny performance. But yeah, also it was like, then they had a weird thing that was just like where they were impersonating each other, and it was so stupid. It's like, "I'm Sasha, I blah, blah, blah." Like, why not? I would like if they had I wouldn't even mind this, sell these things. They could still be funny if you just sell them. Like, if they went back there and like, "Yeah, you know, I feel like since we got up from NXT, I try to help Sasha and she just is full of herself and doesn't respect me. Even when I was champion, she didn't respect me." To have that and have them blow up and then fight if this is what they wanted to do, it could be sellable. Now, I don't know. I just feel like Bailey's heel turn also has been really soft. I don't get it. Hopefully they know where they're going. All right, let's not waste more time on that. Okay, let's get into Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman. So we're setting up for this Kevin Owens Braun Strowman feud at Extreme Rules. So let's talk about another good character. His name's Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens is really interesting. So we've been talking about his like new weasel kind of gimmick, his thing of like trying to like weasel himself out of stuff and kind of like be like, he's almost like the kid in class who's like trying to find like a loophole why he shouldn't have to do homework or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm describing myself when I was at school where it's like, "But I did the assembly last week, so I shouldn't have to do it last week." It's like that. It's like he's weirdly like immature, but I always love when it comes down to it, he'll wrestle really hard. But anyway, he's being stalked by Kevin Owens, and he has this storyline going of like trying to deal with that. He shows up to the arena in a Baron Corbin sweatshirt, like in disguise, like, "I gotta go to work." He doesn't give his keys to the valet because last week when he gave the keys, Strowman got his keys, found his car, and flipped it. He's like, "I'm not gonna do it." And it turns out later that turns out to be his mistake, because when he's trying to escape, he doesn't have his keys on him, and the valet doesn't have his keys. Like, I love that. He's in the Corbin shirt, and then he's always trying to weasel himself out. He's like, oh yeah, I know Shania Twain. He's trying to be like, hey, Angle, he's sweet talking Angle, like going to the principal, just being like, oh, I got you an apple. I know you love Pink Lady or whatever. Bring him their favorite apple, but just trying to like get out of everything. I really dig it. And it's more specific than like when Rollins was a weasel and he was trying to just not wrestle. He was a jerk. This is more of like, there's a face element to Kevin Owens. There's a likability to Kevin Owens. That where you're like, oh, he's like, you know, like, ah, oh, he's a good guy. He's just making bad choices. And sometimes he's got a bad attitude. He digs himself holes. It's like that frustrating friend who like isn't just he's cheating. He's not handling things the proper way. But he's not cheating to win. He's cheating to not do anything. Love it. So I love it. He goes like, okay, you should not take Twain tickets, like he's a nice guy, what a nice offer, and he's like, I don't want that, and then he goes, you don't deserve Shania Twain tickets, like immediately turns on you, you know, like a kid. Anyway, then he's like trying to, he's stressed out to fight, he's selling the shit out of, think about how good he's making Strowman look. He's like, I'm so scared, you know, he's so scared of him, you know, and then he's doing the namaste stuff with Jinder, which we already kind of covered, and then we get to Strowman putting him in a porta potty, knocking him off the stage. yeah, it's unbelievable. They never run out of ideas for Braun Strowman. I mean, I like this. It's stupid, but I liked it. Kevin Owens, I don't know. You guys probably know more than I do. I don't ever look for like stuff like this because I'm always, you know, I'm trying to get worked. I want to believe that Kevin Owens is in the porta potty. He probably wasn't, but it wasn't a big fall. But the way they set it up, it looked like he can get in and out easy, and they could throw like blue paint over them. But the blue looked terrible, by the way. It looked like blue paint, like Crayola paint or whatever. Like it didn't look like at all the fluid that is in the toilet. Like that wouldn't make you. That would dye your skin blue. It wouldn't look like blue paint on your skin. It wouldn't be like thick chalky paint on you. It would be your skin would just be blue. Anyway, whatever. I'll let it go. But yeah, I love it. Kevin Owens. It's like he tried everything to get weasel his way out of it. I loved watching. Someone said this in the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page before in the morning. I believe it was Emily Scott, actually. I love she said a PA had to rig up because you guys got to check this out if you have a second. But Strowman drags the porta potty like a sled. He puts it on his, he wraps the strings on it. He puts it around his body and he drags it like far. There's no way that wasn't a workout. Like that was tough. And he's dragging it and he's, it's like sloppy. He's like bumping into like chairs and like lighting rigs and shit. And he pulls it all the way into the arena. And it's just fun. Braun Strowman is really fun. I just think the thing is with, the thing with this is it's really fun. It's like, Strowman with the case, I really don't like. It's not a good look for him. Holding that briefcase is so off character. I'm sticking with it. Like, yes, there are cool cash-in options, except for the fact that we don't know when Lesnar's going to be around. Whatever, but it looks tiny, and it looks like it's like in his hands. It is all about getting these hands, but how do you get hands when you're holding a briefcase? You know, it looks like he's to go get the briefcase just to remind people. Whereas, like, I like how some characters build their whole gimmick around the briefcase. But that's how much we covet the briefcase and care about it. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm feeling optimistic about the cash in itself, but I love the lead up of Mr. and the Money in the Bank, you know? So I don't know. So the porta potty thing, it's like, so Kevin Owens is like, when they wrestle, like Kevin Owens has no shot of beating Braun Strowman in their match without a mega cheat. And so are you watching the porta potty?
Yeah, this footage is insane. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. It's great.
He gets stuck at a door where it can't fit through, and then it just magically appears. Yeah, almost this is
Kevin Owens doesn't have the fight. He doesn't want to fight Strowman. He's like, I love that. I've always said this. The thing I love about Kevin Owens is that I believe he's like, I could beat Braun Strowman, but I don't want to fight him. I don't feel like getting hurt. Why am I going to get hurt on a Raw? He's like, I'm a prize fighter. That was his thing. I don't fight on that. The only thing about Kevin Owens that feels gone is the fact that he is like a hard work rate guy, but you know, I mean, that's going to fade away as he's on the WWE schedule. What were you saying?
No, that was just I love dumb bits, dumb wrestling bits.
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, they seem to be having an endless supply of Strowman stuff. Like, I haven't actively thought about, like, here are beats for Strowman, but the game of Strowman is, like, pretty vague. It's pretty broad. You can do with the budget they have, you can do so much stuff with it.
Yeah, I mean, dumb strong guy is, like, an almost an infinite, you can do infinite possibilities with that.
Yeah, he just flips cars. I mean, he's just, like, you know, it's fun. I don't know where they go with Strowman in the sense of, like, I guess he'll win the title. Just thinking, like, I don't know. It's like they're doing this for a long time. I don't know. I'm just interested where they go. He needs, like, a big, like, his feud with Kevin Owens doesn't feel like, it feels like, you know, it's a holding pattern for him. But then what happens with Strowman? Like, is he, how do they make him beatable? You know, he won the Money in the Bank. He won the Greatest Royal Rumble. He basically, he lost the Elimination Chamber, but they all teamed up on him. He eliminated every single person except Roman, if you remember that. Like that. So he is like, looks like infallible. Like he's like invisible right now. Invincible, not invisible. He's very, very visible, but he's invincible. I knew I would mess that up. Can we edit that out?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Can't do it. We don't have those capabilities. But anyway, so yeah. So I just think it's like Strowman is. We'll just see where we go from here. No reason to jump the gun here. Okay. Great. So let's move on to a cash in that'll lead us into our next segment.
Hey, fellas, it's John Silva cashing in from Minnesota. Greetings from the land of 10,000 lakes. I have an opinion as much as a question, a wrestling-related improv question for Dan. You've talked on the podcast a lot about how the crazy gimmick doesn't work for you, or doesn't work in general, and I've taken improv classes, so I'm familiar with this concept. You usually use Dean Ambrose as your example. I'm wondering why the crazy gimmick works so well for, like, Nikki Cross, Matt Hardy, and Bray Wyatt, because even if it's not working for Dean Ambrose, it seems to work pretty well for them. So I'm wondering if you can speak to what they're doing differently that gets that gimmick over when it doesn't usually work for people. All right. I love the podcast. Thanks.
Dude, John, thanks, man. I love you. This is a great, great, great question. Okay. So, yes, your gimmick is, I'm crazy, it is too vague. It's not specific enough. It's hard to heighten, right? So if you're if you're in an improv scene and you're trying to take one idea, right, and you go like, okay, and you go, this guy, his thing is that he's nuts, right? There's no linear progression of nuts except to just get crazier. So it ends up being very low brow, and it ends up being nonsensical, right? Where, like, Dean Ambrose every single week would come out and just do something nuts every week. Oh, I'll just break this. I'll break that. Like, I remember he's like, oh, I have a fishbowl. Oh, I call myself the dude. Oh, I'm crazy. Now, it's not focused at all, right? Whereas, like, let's look at you know what? We're gonna go into Bray Wyatt. Not Bray Wyatt. Matt Hardy, right? Let's put Matt Hardy to the side for a second because he's the more extreme example. Let's talk about Jeff Hardy first, who used to be called the Lunatic Fringe. So, okay, how come that kind of worked for Jeff, that he was the Lunatic Fringe? Okay, because of authenticity. Jeff Hardy is legitimately crazy. He is a guy who's, like, reckless with his life, and he gets up on 19-foot ladders and jumps with completely not caring at all about his well-being at all, like, right? Reckless abandon. Like, they've said it before. They're like, he has absolutely no fear at all, right? So that's why it works for him. You're like, okay, this guy, like, is just, he's nuts. He also takes heroin, right? He's a heroin addict. You know what I mean? So you're like, man, he's unpredictable. Even that, Jeff Hardy, there's a more of a specificity to why he's crazy, where Dean Ambrose goes, I'm crazy. Oh, today I'm going to have a fishbowl here that I'm going to break. Oh, I'm going to like draw a sign all weird, right? And then he's going to be like, I'm hardcore. But then he doesn't jump off ladders and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, speaking from the improv point of view, he also doesn't really have a justification sounds of it. He's just doing it for no reason. And it's kind of scattered and, like you said, unfocused. Another good example of where crazy works is with the craziest of all, the Ultimate Warrior, possibly. But he has so much charisma and commitment, and it actually does kind of have a justification. He's this cosmic kind of ethereal lunatic. And so it's all in that world of like his specific brand of craziness, you know? It's not like fishbowl one week, I'm a fireman the next. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's also a different time in wrestling, like Ultimate Warrior. Like, he had like intensity. That was all like the spectacle of Ultimate Warrior, where we didn't really have like hard story. As a matter of fact, a lot of people think that Ultimate Warrior... It did work for me. It was my favorite as a kid.
Of course.
But a lot of people think like what he did didn't work. When you go back and you look at his body of work, people are like, it didn't make sense at all. Right. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. But okay, so like, Jeff Hardy, you're like, okay, cool. Whereas Matt Hardy is not at all, his gimmick is not he's crazy. Mm-hmm. His gimmick is that he's broken Matt Hardy. Which actually also we see in the 24 documentary, came from an authentic place. But also, there's a story to this character. He's a vessel being taken over by the seven deities, right? Like, there's actually...
There you go.
There are rules.
There's your why, right?
And there's a justification to that.
Yeah.
To his whole thing, whereas he broke... It was like a new place in his career where he broke and he was awake in a certain way to like, oh, I'm going to play this character. So, I mean, I think that whereas like... Dean Ambrose actually is not crazy. He's a guy trying to be funny. That's actually the improv rule that he's breaking the most.
That's the worst thing you can possibly do.
Is trying to be funny.
By being crazy. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you do not do that.
Yeah.
Right. He like is like, oh, I'm going to like... actually, it's just this bleeds right into our next segment. And yeah, totally. Where like what is Dean Ambrose's character? What is he? He's like a jokester? Well, then he's like, why he's not really a threat. He also is not dressed like a professional wrestler. He doesn't have he doesn't have the tools to be a believable threat.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy does, because he will jump off of a building to kill you. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
And also,
he might not show up. That's well, you know what I mean? He might literally, he sometimes doesn't come to Raw because he gets DUIs. I'm not applauding that behavior by any means, but you're like,
that's legit.
What a crazy, that's okay. Real. Oh, this guy, all right, you're allowed to be crazy.
Right. Also, if you're being crazy for the reason of I'm a jokester, that's not committed. You're detached from that craziness.
Yeah,
you know?
I've talked about it a lot, Dean Ambrose. When he comes back, I'll point out more examples of it. It's ironic detachment.
Exactly.
Where someone else is committing super hard, and you are just ripping on them like from a place of like, oh, what you're doing is stupid.
Yeah, and you're kind of like smiling and winking at the audience.
Right.
Like, you know?
But now compare this to Kevin Owens. It comes down to selling also. Like, compare this to Kevin Owens this week, who... was so not ironically detached from the fact that Braun Strowman was going to flip his car and do all the stuff that he could be like, oh, he could have just been like, what are you going to flip my car? You know what I mean? Like, he could have just been like, all right, whatever. What are you going to hurt me? Like, I don't care. Like, but he was legitimately like scared of him.
Right.
That is him selling it. But also, I can talk about Sarah, but let's just get into the next segment. But I agree with you on Warrior also. Warrior gave you a bill of goods that he was, like, he sold you a bill of goods that he was his, like, his belief, right?
Right.
Nothing he said he didn't believe. He thought it was awesome, and he was like, I'm going to come out of here full intensity, right? Well, how John Cena works, where he goes, hustle, loyalty, respect, and you know that's how he lives his life.
Right. That's, like, one exception with craziness is if you double down and you're as committed as the Warrior, and you're blessed with some sort of charisma, and you fit the part and the body works and everything, then you can circumvent that sort of that critique. You know?
And I know I'm going to get complaints. People are going to show me old Johnny Moxley clips, and they're going to show me times where Dean Ambrose was nuts or whatever. But he's not doing it in WWE. What he's doing is pointing blame at Brock Lesnar for having bad matches. Had a bad match with Ziggler at SummerSlam. Had a bad match at WrestleMania 32 with Lesnar, and then got rightfully put onto the pre-show at 33 where he belonged. Cool. Let's get into this next segment, because this will actually shine some stuff on the knife. Some clips and notes, so that you might even want to shine some more light here. But Constable Corbin and Finn had something that I... Okay. So, all right. My beef with this... I like Constable Corbin concept. I like the rebranding of Baron Corbin. The thing is, like, it just... Talk about justification. Like, he had some nice moments in here where he did justify, but I wanted to make it, like, sell me on this more, right? Why is he so excited to be in this role? He was the lone wolf before, and now he's, like, now he's taking the, like, Seth Rollins architect road towards, like, oh, I'm personally appointed by Stephanie McMahon. Like, I don't think before he would even care about them. He had nothing to do with them, and now he still has never been face-to-face with them at all. Not even a fake phone call, I believe. I could be wrong, but I don't remember that. And then... he did make a couple lines that I went back and watched. He had a justification line where he said, guys like me make more money than you. So it was like, oh, I yeah, but that's fine. But I want more. Like he said, Stephanie McMahon picked me for a reason. And then he stopped. Why? Why did Stephanie McMahon pick you? What is the goal here? What is the constable's not a real position there. So let's see, like, what is that? So I want a little more there. Okay, now in terms of that, I could use a stronger justification. In terms of improv, you want to know, justifications are not always just check the box. You have to dig down deeper into them. Like, why? You might have follow-up questions. You get a why and you go, why? If somebody says, if you eat a piece of shit off the ground, and I go, why'd you eat that piece of shit? And then you go, because I was hungry. Yes, you've given me the why, but do I have more questions?
Yeah, well, I want to dig more. There's other food out there, so why did you choose the shit?
Right, exactly. So you have to keep digging into it, right? So, okay, so that's what I'm saying is I want to know what's up there. Okay, so now here's another thing that I don't dig is when you have a fake, when you're not actually listening and responding to each other. So Baron Corbin and Finn have this discussion where they do like a whole bunch of like, of like jokester responses to each other. Talk about trying to be funny. Okay. Now I understand why they do this for a big audience. They're trying to get cheap heat and pop for stuff, but like, okay, here's a sound drop. Here.
Okay. I'm sorry that my comments about your vest last week got you fired from TGI Fridays.
Okay, cool. Now, I mean, I have a lot of problems with this joke to begin with, because, okay, I get it. It's funny that the vest looks like he works at TGI Fridays, okay? I got a laugh last week, but it's like, I'm sorry that you got fired from that vest. You got fired from TGI Fridays? It's like, that's going too deep into this fake lore of the fact that he worked at a Fridays. Like, you're like, oh, are you wearing a Fridays vest? Oh, did you get fired from it? It's like, hey, I'm sorry that the benefit structure at TGI Fridays isn't up to your code and it's not covering your mental health treatment. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what? You're going too far. You're saying he looks like he's at Fridays. Don't go a step further. That's just, now it's just weird on Finn's part. But there's also that thing where it's like, I'm sorry, right? They're doing the, they're just making jokes. They're not actually responding to each other. It's like, why are you upset? He said, I want you to apologize to me for doing that. Be like, oh, I'm sorry. And then, oh, here's a joke. And I'll be like, no, I'm not sorry. And here's why. And here's what I don't like about you. Here's why we're feuding. Like, something there. So we don't know why he's a constable. And Finn has a problem with him. Why? Does he have a problem with Steph? They're just fighting. Okay, now you can argue, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I would like to be vested in these storylines. I can already tell this is going to be just a match I watch for this reason, right? And it falls into that thing like that. I pulled this clip from Family Guy when you start being like, they had a pattern of, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, you're saying sorry to me? I'm sorry that your face is stupid or whatever they say. I'm sorry. It's so juvenile. It's like, you know, it's a version.
Old.
Right, it's a version of this.
So, Doctor, is Peter healthy?
My goodness, you'll be dead within a month.
What?
Oh, Hagar the Horrible, if you keep up that lifestyle of pillaging and giant turkey legs, you'll be dead within a month. Now, on to you.
So, what do you think? Pretty healthy, eh?
Well, Mr. Griffin, let's take a look at your physical results. Ah! There's a spider in here! Now, here we go. Mr. Griffin, you're going to expire in a month. This is your driver's license, isn't it? Now, unfortunately, I'm afraid you're going to die. when you watch these Dean Martin celebrity roasts.
Will you just tell us how Peter's health is?
Okay, great. So that is very funny.
In the defense, that is a very classic vaudeville joke, and it is very funny.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's vaudeville, okay? Where we're trying to get invested in it, right? That scene never moves forward. And we're trying to build a story. So it's like, what if we just go, you say something, I give you joke response. You say something, joke response. It stays in the same place. We're not building a conversation. Right? So this is bad behavior in improv, and it would be bad behavior.
You know where you can give it credit, though, is they justified the hell out of each single joke or reason that he was saying it.
In Family Guy?
In that thing.
That thing is so well written. It's hilarious.
Right, of course.
It's perfect for that.
Of course.
Because you don't see the doctor again.
Right.
It's Family Guy's where you cut to non sequiturs.
Right. You just keep cutting. Yeah.
It's all joke.
Never ending pretty far.
Right. Yeah. But you're trying to have two people who have a feud.
On stage,
that, essentially, they're trying to pay, they're trying to get people's money to watch this.
Yeah. It's
blow
a lot.
Off.
You can't cut away from
that.
I am thinking it would be fun to see a who's on first like that, a well-written who's on first in like a wrestling gimmick, but see it actually work out. Like, I would be interested in seeing that.
By the way, they used to have a tag team called the Vaudevillains. If this is what they did, I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
When they had the Vaudevillains, if they were just like, I'll see you there. They go like, yo, yeah.
Like a giant king.
You want me to apologize? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your face looks so funny. Right? They just did that, and they're like, all right, Vaudevillains. Like, look, we have a match at this pay-per-view, and I want to know you're going to show up. Yeah, I'll show up, and I'll show down. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like,
it's like, why never? You could have fooled me. Yeah, it would have been great.
Yeah. You'd be like, right, are you waiting for our match? What? I don't even smoke. That's essentially what they're doing. And Finn is a character who you're like, what is Finn? He just goes like, he's the hero of diversity. That's it. All we know about Finn is that he votes Democrat if he could vote in this country. Like, right? Like, that's kind of all we know. It's like, does Corbin tie that in? Is Corbin a fucking Trump supporter? I don't know. I don't know. Something deeper. Anyway, cool. Now, how do you feel like I answered that dude's cash in?
Yeah, I think we gave him a very, very good breakdown.
Great, cool. All right, so, okay, well, you know what, let's keep going on this, because I'm going to go on this Nia Jax. Nia Jax, here's an example of, like, here's what I'm saying. If we just have, this is where we're going to end up if we don't build.
Alexa, 2 months ago at WrestleMania, when I defeated you for the Raw Women's Championship, I thought I was finished with you. God, I hoped I was. But I was wrong.
God, I hoped I was.
And then at Backlash, when I squashed you like the insect that you are, I thought you're behind me forever.
Forever.
Oh, God.
But you know what? I guess I was wrong again.
What a snooze. I mean, is that...
That is
such generic... I thought I beat you last week and that you would be over, like, I'd be done with you, but I'm not done with you. And now I'm going to hurt you. And that's it. Nothing about this character at all. Her name's Nia Jax. What is she? They said she was a bully, whatever. I mean, if you watch it, I wish I had the visuals of this. At one point, she just goes, our next match is going to be Extreme Rules. And Alexa Bliss's face goes scared, like, immediately. And it's the best part of it. It's so expressive. Just a look from Alexa Bliss is more interesting than Nia Jax's whole promo. What are you? Are you saying, like, what is your deal? I mean, that's what I'm saying. So now we got Finn, who just... Oh, now he's a jokester, Finn. Finn's a vaudeville jokester. We could do better. This is a billion-dollar company. We can write these people more specific stuff. Worked up. I'm worked up. I got to take a sip. I got it. Let's get another cash in. So I get to just take a breath.
9:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Catching up on Raw Live. Terrible too low. Tiptoe with too low. What's up, motherfuckers?
Yo, really burning Raw 36 seconds.
And the potential stable of Revival. Dolph Ziggler. Drew McIntyre. Is a group of individuals that you need to throw all the motherfucking belts on. It will never happen because it's all fucking work. And that was my Hot Live Take of the Night. Later, bitches.
Okay. Did he say make stable? Did he say?
I honestly tuned out.
Yeah. Okay.
I tune out with Tula.
Yeah, so, I tune out with Tula.
Look, I want to say something about this because a lot of talk about stables and the comedians of wrestling fans pray for in the morning under his eye, blessed be the fruit. Is there another Handmaids this week? Do you guys watch?
Yeah, I think there is. Yeah,
that wasn't the finale.
I'm on the episode. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit behind.
All right, I thought it was over. Anyway,
I'm
the
a
show
binger.
Seems to be back on track.
Oh, really? I'm at a point where it's like
it seems to be good enough.
Stop breaking the rules.
Better than the First Order, at least. But I'm the First Order, Dom Hall Gleason. In every guys, what in every single movie? All right, okay.
Double
lights. Jar Jar Binks. All right, now, all right. Okay. Anyway.
Sir right. Bulba.
Okay. So, okay. So, think about stables. There's a lot of talk about stables going on in the Facebook group. The problem with stables is that it's sexy to be like, let's put these guys together. You know what I mean? Oh, let's have this. But right now, you run into this thing where now that the rosters are split, it's tough to like, I know with the booking, it's really tough to be like, oh, these guys have to be together. You have limited things you can do. And then also with the flexibility, if you want people to like switch shows a bunch, then you're like, oh, we have, you don't want to half-ass a stable. They got to be like right to censor. They're like all in. And I could see with the current Raw SmackDown structure, stables being like kind of a problem for like the writing. It adds another layer of like limitation. It's almost like a bureaucracy element where you're like, well, we can't pull him this way because he's in the stable. So I understand why it's like they're not doing more than two people stables, or they're just bringing in full like Sanity style stables, not just putting a bunch of people together. But it is fun to like make fantasy stables in your mind. All right, guys, let's just quickly move on to SmackDown. This one's obsolete. SmackDown coming back to Fridays. SmackDown, it's on Fridays. 1 billion deal on Fox, Fox, Fox. SmackDown on Fox.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed.
Bye-bye. Okay, so SmackDown. Look, here's the deal with SmackDown. It's July 4th. We're recording on Tuesday. SmackDown literally just ended. I was watching SmackDown up to this. So we'll just hit a couple things on SmackDown. Nothing insane really to cover. They had a storyline that the Usos might be added to the Team Hell No match versus the Bludgeon Brothers at Extreme Rules. But it didn't happen. They did have a thing with Daniel Bryan and Kane. So I was saying last week, Daniel Bryan needs to be freshened up or whatever. By the way, he has a new blue shirt. The Yes is back. And I think that's what I would classify as hashtag buyable merch. I like that shirt. I think it looks cool. Problem is it's crunch. If it was acid wash, you know I would get it, baby. Anyway, acid.
If it fits like a regular shirt.
You guys, I love coffee, and I think that's an acid. Okay. Anyway, I dig that shirt. Also, Asuka has a shirt that's buyable merch. Someone pays in the four in the morning base Facebook page. Okay. So yeah, the other thing was like, oh, you got to apologize to me. You attacked me. They did it in the ring to introduce this Team Hell No. I mean, I don't know how I feel on Team Hell No. I think it's a great way to put Daniel Bryan on ice if they're looking to make this Miz match a bigger deal. And like they're holding out for what they're going to do with Daniel Bryan. This is also a good way for him to do tag matches so maybe he doesn't have to work as hard. So you can make sure that he's alive for WrestleMania. So I'm fine with it. And it is fun. It's a good way to just put him on ice. That's how I say it. I don't know. That's how I see it. I'm not sure. People might be really pumped for Team Hell No. I just, whatever. I'm very, you know, over Kane. I think that seems to be the consensus. But I liked it. He was like, oh, apologize to me. And he had a list of things that Kane should apologize to him about. And then they cleared it up. I thought that was fine. That was cool. And also, I like, it's like there's a comedy element to Daniel Bryan and Kane. There's a lot looseness to it that I actually kind of think is fun. Some of it makes me laugh. They do have a fun dynamic. I don't like Daniel Bryan yesing backstage. He's got to not can't. He's got to reserve that yes chant for Anthony. I don't like that. Anyway, so yeah, that's fine. We got to see Jeff Hardy versus Miz. Jeff Hardy's face paint looked dope. Love Jeff Hardy in the red, white, and blue face paint. Jeff Hardy had the open challenge. He's still holding on to the belt. We're setting up. We had a weird Sanity Pancake New Day. Sanity interrupted the New Day's Pancake Challenge. I thought it was fun. It was fine. I don't really have anything to say there. The thing I do want to talk about is Asuka versus Ellsworth. Well, I think that my thing is just like New Day. Where do we go with New Day? Like, I actually mark out for New Day. I think people, you know, Newman was saying he's tired of New Day. Not tired, but he's like getting a little bored of their deal. I found a way they're always fresh and always funny. Even when they do that thing where you're like, they say a line and I go, oh, it's not funny. And then the next line's really funny. Those guys really understand comedy. Where, you know, they know their voice. They're great. I still like it. I do want a singles push from one of them. Ellsworth, Asuka had a double count out. I love the, you know, I love Carmella. I'm a Carmella mark. Mella is money. And I like that when Asuka was run, Ellsworth runs away from the match. Obviously, Asuka's beating the crap out of Ellsworth. And Ellsworth runs away, and Asuka runs after, and then Carmella's just like, what is she doing leaving the match? Like, completely ignoring the fact that she was following Ellsworth who left. I love like reckless blind heel work like that, where it's just like, oh, we're just gonna completely ignore one facet of it. It's kind of like Trumpian, unfortunately. But anyway. Okay. Last thing I want to talk about is AJ Styles versus Rusev coming up at Extreme Rules. So it's interesting. AJ was in the ring. Obviously, I love AJ. The crowd was doing AJ Styles, Rusev Day. They're split. There's something so fun about a split crowd. There are two faces going after each other. All right. Rusev, you know, he's working heel here. You know, he's clearly the heel on paper, but the crowd, like, I'm excited to see that match because of the fact that they're both working babyface. They're both crowd favorites, put it that way. And it's going to be, like, I think that the crowd reaction for that match is going to be really interesting. So, yeah. All right. That's everything. That's everything for this week. I got nothing else to say, guys. Is that all right? Good?
Yeah, I mean, we still almost went an hour and a half, so.
Oh, sweet. With just me, even without Newman. All right, I'm going to say one last thing, actually, okay? One last thing I want to say is, like, listen, I just want to remind everyone. So, we were in the PV era, the post-viral, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my wrestling stand-up video, check it out if you haven't seen it. It's Why Wrestling is Better Than Basketball. And I kind of talk about LeBron, so it's more relevant now a little bit because LeBron is still in the news or whatever. I don't know. We don't care about that. I'll care when they add Rollins to the Lakers, but the Facebook group has grown up, it doubled in size overnight. Essentially, we've talked about this before. I think that Jerk Mills he cashed in and said his piece there, but I just want to say, if you listen to this podcast, which I imagine a lot of people whose behavior on there is wild and swampy, as we call it. I imagine they probably don't listen to the podcast. They're just people in the group who like to just talk on Facebook.
Yeah, I think they're just randos that found like wrestling and comedy and assumed it right. Like a shit posting group.
But yeah, I mean, look, we're not trying to offend each other. We're trying to have fun dialogue about wrestling. It doesn't mean you can't have hot takes. Doesn't mean you can't be passionate about your take. We're not going to delete someone for being angry or being like frustrated with the product or having a hot take or whatever. But if you come on there and start cursing people out and you start just like really, like aggressively offending the sensibilities of someone or just saying things to be like contrarian in an extremely vulgar way, like this is what I'm trying to describe the behavior that's happening. Like if you're not part of the culture we're trying to create. You know, and it's interesting because I get really hateful messages when people are getting booted from, which, by the way, I'm not the only admin. I take every time someone gets booted from the group, even if I don't know about it, it's fuck you, Dan Black.
Yeah.
You're lame ass group.
They're the heel.
There are three other admins who we do not tolerate, flyover sweat hogs, and we do kick out all the swampy fucks that post shit.
By the way, flyover, I'm not condoning. I don't condone that expression.
That's a Newman expression.
Oh, that's a Newman's. That's a swampy Newman behavior. That I don't. Hey, everyone's a person. Everyone's great, but there is a specific behavior where it's like you're being too aggressive. You're being too mean. You got to work out. I would say that if you're hurting inside, look for this group. These are people who actually can help you heal. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm having bad days. There's times where I'm really stressed out, upset about things in my life, and I watch wrestling and I talk to this group and I'm on that group, and that's part of me. It's there's a cathartic, therapeutic element to this group. And I implore you, if you're feeling angry, to find the positivity of this group and not give in to your hatred, okay? Take the higher ground.
Yes.
Speaking of the cathartic element of the group, if something bad happens to you, like you get a post flagged or something like that, it's all about your reaction to it. You can post on there and be like, hey, why did my thing get flagged? And chances are most people are nice. You're going to open a nice discussion about it, and then everyone will be friends at the end. You know, everyone's very supportive in this group of each other. No one's trying to tear each other down.
Absolutely. Burn it down! No, no. It hurts me when I got to say,
thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
You know, that's not my goal. We're not trying to boot everyone from it. But no, I'm saying, like, seriously, I think it's okay to say something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that have been, look, we're not, people have reported things in the group that I'm like, I don't know
pretty,
why this.
Pretty ridiculous
I'm
things
like, why
reported.
Is that reported? I have absolutely no idea. Sometimes I think it's almost a bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But guys, like, it's common sense, man. If you're angry, you're upset in your life, if you're saying things that are offending people, this is a place to find new friends. This is not a place to make more enemies. Mm-hmm.
But also, there's no like huge confirmation bias culture in it either. If you want to have a nice, healthy debate or argument about something, people are willing to do that, but it's just not going to get aggressive and hateful.
And most importantly, know that I didn't necessarily boot you. Okay,
if you're thinking about or Newman,
more likely than not, it's not me. Yeah. I have a higher capacity than you, especially Newman.
Yeah, we have a very low tolerance for
itchy trigger fingers.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So let's wrap it up here. The most important thing that we got to talk about here is the Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam Tacular live August 18th, Saturday night in New York City. After NXT TakeOver in the Barclays Center, it'll be a quick subway ride away. You'll have enough time when it ends to get there at midnight. The show will start. And if you're a patron, make sure you tell me you want to get to the show. I'll make sure that you can get there. We'll talk about some comps. We'll talk about that as we get closer. The location of this will be announced, and likely the ticket information will be announced next week on the show. And I'm really excited. I'm gonna do a full half hour with based around professional wrestling and my love for it, and it's gonna be pretty exciting. I think it's gonna be a really good time. Dolph Ziggler, I mean, the Intercontinental Champion, the night before, we hope he's getting ready for his one-hour Iron Man match against Seth Rollins. Hopefully they don't jabroni him. We want him bringing the belt to the SummerSlam Spectacular.
Yes, we want that there.
We want the belt there.
SummerSlam Spectacular, like Scott Bakula.
And we'll have more information about the show coming at you. But, really, if you're close, like, come, you know, support the show. Even if the tickets won't be crazy expensive.
This is going to be a Mark Mecca. I mean, if you're a cow fan, this is it. It doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, this is going to be like a really good time. And this will set a precedent for like what we're capable of as the Jabroniac Nation. I'm optimistic, and I know I'm going to be right, that this is the beginning of what is going to be the Comedians of Wrestling TakeOver.
This is our first East Coast live show, right, in a while. Usually we do them out here in LA, and I can say they are always wild as hell.
It was really hype last time in LA.
Oh, yeah. I was sick for like 3 weeks after that show. Yeah. After all them, really.
We got hit with the chair, too.
Yeah. Oh, I got beat with a chair. Anyway, so we'll see what happens on this show. It's going to be awesome. Now, just a heads up for the show. I'm going to be headed to New York for a while. Probably through SummerSlam, and I'll be in New York, so we'll be recording the show in New York, So Nasty Newman will be cashing in. You guys can leave your cash ins to be on the show. We're still going to be rocking it. An appearance of Sophie, the masturbating engineer. We'll see if we can get her in there. I'll be in New York recording from there. Just letting you know, probably more. Mm-hmm. If you got it, hey, I still have, by the way, I still have the cash in of the dude who was hating on Shabiro. I'm saving that for next week when we have the king of the custom intro in studio. Heal it off. I'll save that so he can respond to that directly, and you can challenge him for that. But also, I got some exciting New York guests lined up, so it's nice I can spend some time there and get people in who you guys have been requesting. Cool. So, any plugs?
Anush?
Only plug I have is follow Curbside Legends on Instagram. It's a fun little series I'm doing with Matt Walsh. I think you'll like it. And you can participate in it, too. That's the best. At Curbside Legends.
I'm not going to plug other podcasts on the show because it doesn't feel right. Just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @YayForZig.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at @DBlackAttack. Follow at COW Podcast. That's the official Twitter of this. And if you wanted to see the Why Wrestling's Better Than Basketball clip, that's on there. You can see that on there. You can follow us our Instagram, which we're going to be beefing up. The @ComediansOfWrestling Instagram account. And that's it, I think. Yeah, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cow. Summer Slam. Spectacular, August 18th, Saturday, baby.
Bye-bye.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.